I'm glad it's night, so the light from the sun would not burn me on my bum when I shoot the moon.
Hill's got it, driven into the ground with a pulverizing tackle from Ambrose. Oh, I think the Bombers are going to go up with it here. Bombers and Rams.
Baby, you've been rolling solo, time to get down with the team. The grass is greener on that other side.
Welcome to the Windy Hill Windsock. With me, The Solution, and joining me this evening is Fiona.
Hello. Have I got my days wrong? Am I a day too early? Did I die?
Yeah.
What's going on?
The Fiona's forecast, we're doing it a day early, primarily because my boys' weekend starts shortly, so I have to do it tonight. I won't be able to do it tomorrow, and therefore I should just flag nice and early, bit of housekeeping. The podcast will be a day late also. So I don't know what state I'll be in. I'll probably sound like one of the contestants on RuPaul's Drag Race by Tuesday night.
I'll be a bit disappointed if you don't, to be quite honest.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I may even look like one,
so
depending on what happens. But, yeah, so we're going a day early, which means there'll be no changes.
Because we can maybe predict the changes that we think are going to happen. I think they're pretty straightforward.
Well, yeah, we'll maybe touch on them briefly, but of course anything we say could be redundant in 24 hours, so we don't want to spend too much time.
Fair enough.
So that'll be an abridged segment, but we will do the Smoking Joe, the Sitting Joe. We'll predict the winner, which should be interesting because in the podcast proper that we did, in a strange twist of fate, I picked Essendon and you've gone against them, which is unusual. So we'll do that and we'll do a couch question at the end. But in terms of the changes, we don't know what the team will be. But we did see, you saw the announcement with Menzies.
Yes.
Yes. Or as the architect would say, Menzies.
Yeah.
I've heard it's a shoulder, but have you heard the rumour that's going on? Because I know you're pretty close to the...
I think you're going to tell me what the rumour is.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's true, but I feel bad because he's won 3 Hennemans in a row. But what I have been told is he's got a chronic kind of issue that's come to light, which is a severe allergy problem. Have you heard this?
To the leather.
Yes. Damn.
Listeners, I did not know this joke beforehand. You did not set me up.
No, but you're way too smart. I thought I'd be able to at least get
you. You're gonna laugh at me.
Yeah. So I don't think that's gonna be a great loss. I expect that just Menzies out, Sardis in might be the sum total with Davey.
I think Hind will start. And Sardis will be sub, and I'm more than happy with that. There's a bit of flexibility with Sardis, so I'm happy for him to come on and play wing, play high, you know, high half forward if he has to, and or run through the midfield. So he could even pinch hit half back if he had to. So I think that's a reasonable sub.
Yeah, except I would say I'd rather Hind as a sub.
Oh, I'm just hesitant to change anything. Don't change what worked. And I'm hesitant. Mm. I'd love to see the same lineup go into the Adelaide game. And a Hind for Menzies, most like for like.
Yeah. I don't know. I like Hind as the... Is he the super sub? He's not quite the super sub. Maybe he's a supra sub.
I think we've just got to give him a... It's going to be doing him and our team and his performance no good to keep being a sub. So I think at some point, and I think this is the week to do it.
Okay. Well, we won't labour the point. We'll find out tomorrow and I guess on Friday.
And let's just, I know there were rumours that Jai Caldwell, but I'm touching all the wood. If you hadn't heard it, there was a few whispers. I think Channel 7 even ran with it, mainly because he was training away from the group apparently, but our friend of the pod, Charlie, confirmed that he also did that last week. So read into that what you want. Keep in mind that we've also got a short turnaround to Anzac Day, next week. So there's a few up in the air. But I'd say if he was out, I'd say Sardis would come in and maybe Caddy is your sub. Because I don't think we've got anybody else to sub.
No, that's right.
They make Shield sub. I know it would be very silly to give him a game after just a half in the VFL because he did look like unfit in terms of just hasn't played football in a long time. He looked very slick and, you know, was in good touch. But, yeah.
But he could be good for 20 minutes.
Yeah, but what if we get an injury in the first quarter, then he's playing three quarters and he's struggling to run by the fourth quarter. So there's just fraught with danger. I just don't think that's smart. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point.
Let's just pray for Caldwell.
Yes, yes. Played a great game last week. Oh,
so still underrated, still not getting talked about.
Yeah, he's I think he will be. A few more performances like that and he will be. But so in terms of the game itself and the Smoking Joe and Sitting Joe, I didn't even say it at the start. We're playing Adelaide in Adelaide, of course, Friday.
Well, we'd hope everybody listening to this podcast are Essendon supporters. So
you'd think they'd know
that. You'd think they'd be across that. But, yeah, in case you're not.
We do have a few supporters. We do have a few listeners from overseas, of course.
Yes.
Yeah. Shout out The Apprentice in The Hague in Holland, by the way.
And any poor wives who are listening, or husbands who are listening to it because their spouse is listening to the pod on loud and they have to endure our voices, shout out.
That would be a fate worse than death, I think. But, yeah, so there may be non-Eston fans is the point. But, yeah, playing Adelaide in Adelaide. Smoking Joe, Sitting Joe. So people that don't know, these are the two awards we give before the game. Smoking Joe is the guy who's going to smoke, who's going to raise his level. The Sitting Joe will sit on the fence, Joe Danaher-like, and disappoint and go beneath his level. Which one are you doing? I can never remember.
You've got the smoking this week.
Oh, excellent. Who have you got?
You go first. The smoking goes first, always.
Okay, well, I better get the team up then.
You think after a year and a half of doing this podcast, of doing Fiona's forecast, You yell at the architect.
True. Yeah, it's do as I say, not as I do.
Mm.
But I was just padding while I decide. I'm going to say... See, so many guys played well last week that it's kind of hard to say... Like, if last week was the baseline... be a lot harder to find a player who'll raise his level, and it'd be easier to find a guy that will perform poorly. But I'm going to go for somebody who I reckon has just needed the weeks to work his way back into it.
Oh no.
Work his way into fitness.
Windsock 2000.
And he's had a month now just to work his way back, maybe some learnings thrown in. Darcy Parrish. It is your time to shine, my friend. You've been underwhelming. What stats did Windsock 2000 lay on us today? A bit from Champion Data.
Yeah, we don't like to give too much credence to the old Champion Data stats, but apparently he's rated second worst in the league.
Effectiveness or something.
For effectiveness, was that it?
But who's the worst, by the way?
Well, it's your mate.
Yeah, Joe Menzies. Or Joe Menzies.
I find that outrageous that Parrish is that low. I think what you're telling me, nobody from North Melbourne rated lower. I need to check Windsock's 2000s workings because it just doesn't, or no one from West, Hawthorne? No, surely. We need to double check his rating.
I don't know, man. He's an AI, so he's meant to have his finger on the pulse. But
the glitch. That sounds like a glitch to me.
Anyway, I reckon Darcy Parrish would probably look wherever he lands in that stupid Champions Data. I'm not a stats guy, by the way. I prefer the eye test.
Yep.
But wherever he's landed in statistically, he should probably look at last week and go, right, it's time for me to step up. I've been kind of average compared to the way I can play. And the expectations that are on me, time for me to step up. So I think he will this week. And
it doesn't, it's just his ball use. I've liked his energy and his effort, I've really quite liked that around the ground. I watched it closely, particularly last week, because of how he was tracking. It's just the ball use. He's still doing the you know, burrowing in and getting the ball out. It's just there's something not quite right. Like little handballs that are going in the completely wrong direction.
Yeah. And I don't reckon, I don't have the stats in front of me, but I'd guess his handball to kick ratio is well in favour of handballs.
Mm.
And I don't reckon he's just getting away. He's getting that separation that he sometimes gets from his opponent and from packs.
Oh, you reckon he's getting more attention?
I don't know if it's attention or whether he's just not.
Could be.
100% fit, or he's playing with something, or his fitness was compromised pre-season and he's. I don't know. But he's not getting separation. That's the thing for me. He's definitely not a silk ball user, but at his best, you know, he's running away from the pack.
Yeah.
He's kicking at least to advantage of our forwards, 40 metres, 50 metres, whatever the catch might be.
Mm.
So,
yeah, he's doing a lot of balls like up and down the chimney, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of them. And that we are, yeah, you're right, we are a bit used to that when it comes to him. But, yeah, so it's, yeah, I think that's, he's either just lagging a bit from a limited preseason or he's getting a bit of closer attention and they're just not giving him enough room. We'll have to watch him a bit closer and see if anyone's.
Yeah. But I hope I'm right. I think he can turn it around. I think he's a talented player and we're very, very quick to throw the baby out with the bathwater. We're very, very quick to label somebody as crap.
Yeah, oh, no. There's no realm in which I'm dropping him. No way.
Yeah, I'm just looking at his stats from last week and, yeah, there you go. 7 kicks, 15 handballs.
Yeah.
Did have 5 tackles, which is pleasing.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, the effort is there and the intent is there.
You said that, yeah.
Yeah, can see that. It's the same with Laverty. It's the same with my issue with Laverty. I can see the efforts there.
Yeah.
He's not shying away from contests. He's courageous. He goes for marks that, you know, and he gets some marks that he sometimes shouldn't just from pure courage. And he's trying his guts out. I just don't think he's got it sometimes.
Yeah.
I just think he gets beaten by a lot of his opponents. That's all. But it's not for lack of effort. And granted, he was very good against St Kilda in the last quarter, but he had his, like, he started on Norton, but Norton got the first mark for Bulldogs and the first goal. And so immediately the coach's box switched him onto Hagen. And then Ugel Hagen had the game of his life, you know? So I just, and I know you said he's a giving away height. He's not giving away. I've watched that replay on repeat a lot, almost every night. And I watched them side by side. And again, it's the eye test. I didn't have to go in and look at the actual centimetres, but he's not giving away a lot of height. So, you know.
Yeah, I reckon.
But the good thing that we can rest, that we can at least go to sleep on is that they're both actually giving a lot of maximum effort. So,
Which more broadly was Scott's comment about the prior week when we got beaten by Port. It's not an effort issue.
Yeah.
And I trust him on that. I trust him on that. I think he's got players giving 100% effort most of the time. But yeah, it's other things. It's decision making. It's stuff above the shoulders a lot of the time.
Yeah, I think it's just reading of the play for Laverty, but I think for Parrish. Yeah, I think you've either nailed it. Maybe he's just lagging a bit because he had that interrupted preseason. And maybe he does fit in the box of he's just giving him 5 weeks now to get in the swing of things. So. All right, Smoke and Joe, let's go, Paz.
Well, that was a Smoke and Joe.
Yeah, okay.
Paz, yeah, so who's your sitting?
All right, my sitting Joe. There's a few obvious ones, but I don't want to do the obvious.
Good.
I'm going to say, in a complete reverse Moz, I'm going to say Gresham.
That would be disappointing
Yeah, would be very disappointing. And this is, again, a complete and utter Moz, but he's the first player that came to my head, and I'm going with my gut. So I'm hoping that I'm really wrong, but Gresh has got the nomination to me. I have no backing to it. There is no reason. I have no information. There's no – I say that just to give you a name because you require a name from me.
Do you think maybe he'll think he's in the showdown and maybe go to the Ramsgate Hotel and throw punches the night before?
Yeah, I don't know. I think Brad Scott puts a chain on the hotel gates, on the hotel doors, just in case.
Oh, it's Adelaide. They roll up the pavement when it's dark, so don't worry about
that's
that.
That's true. Very true. So, you know, I don't think we'll have to worry about that. Or maybe just Trevor, that he's just going to tell Travis Cloak to just park himself outside the door.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm telling you what.
Every time you
see Travis Cloak, he just looks like a kid in a candy store. He's frothing being our runner. He loves it. Absolutely loves it. He's got the smile from ear to ear, and he's just loving being in amongst it.
Yep, yep. Yeah, he's one of us now.
Yeah.
Definitely one of us.
He's absolutely over to the dark side.
Hmm.
Now, are you going to give a Houdini since you can't give it to who you wanted to give it to?
Oh, because Menzies not. Well, we don't know who's going to survive the cull. But
okay. So, well, what if we'll just do it on what we suspect is going to happen? If Sardis is the sub and Hind gets elevated,
Hind? Can I say Hind?
I mean, it's your award, but. Be pretty. I just think who's replacing Hind? We have no one to replace him in the VFL.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't really think there would be a Houdini award. Like to your point earlier, old mate Levert isn't playing well, but we don't have options.
No,
there's no.
It just breaks my heart that Baldwin injured himself because he was. As I said to you, what I say to you, my source said in the preseason, Gresham and Baldwin, the two absolute ones that were just above everybody else, even above Merritt, just ticking all those boxes. And he would be in replacing Ridley if he wasn't injured. And it's just so upsetting because he deserves it.
Well, he, Reed and Ridley, three defenders gone.
Do you reckon we'll see Ridley, Reed and Mackay together again this year? What does your gut say?
No.
That would be disaster. Well, on the injury report, it says 6 to 8 weeks for Ridley and 2 to 4 for Reed.
Yeah, well, Reed's got – he's going to end up basically having 2 months of awareness.
Yeah. Well, so, in fairness, they're being ultra conservative with him, which is right.
That's what they said last time.
That's true.
Sorry.
No, you're right.
We'll see. But it would have to be
like round, you know, 17, 18, 19, if anything.
Yep. Yep.
Which is really frustrating.
No, I couldn't say anyone's lucky to. If it's basically as we think.
Yeah.
There's not going to be anyone that's lucky to still be there because we just need people. We need bodies.
Well,
anyway.
My favourite line when somebody said that, well, go to the morgue. If you just need a body, then go to the morgue.
We kind of did that.
That's from Schitt's Creek. I should credit that. That's very funny.
Okay, that's not bad. Yeah. We kind of did that during the top-up year. We went to the footballing morgue resurrected a bunch of... We
absolutely did.
Footballing zombies.
That was great. That's a great analogy.
Do you remember some of the names?
I remember Crowley.
Yeah, Crowley. What about that?
Yep. And what about did James Kelly? Did he come? Was he a topper?
Yeah, as was Chappie as well.
Chappie, yep. What about the guy with the fro? Or was he a trade? No, not Zach Clark. The other guy. Starts with G, defender.
Yeah, from St Kilda.
Yeah, from St Kilda.
Wilt.
Was he a top up or do we trade for him? Can't remember.
I hope he was a top up. If we traded for him, whoever traded for him was guilty. Guilty of a serious.
We'll just give that another one to Xavier Campbell, shall we? Yeah, that was great. We got the zombies. We got the football zombies. We did. We went to the footy morgue.
We were the fentanyl bombers.
Wow.
But
those were the days, not.
Those were the days. Yeah. So we're going to go to – so that's the Sitting Joe, Smoking Joe. We're going to go to the game now, don't we? So what do you reckon? We discussed it a bit on the podcast.
We did.
You felt Adelaide might have our measure at the time.
Yeah. I feel like they've got their mojo, clearly, and I feel like they're going to know what works now that they've had that win against Carlton. They're back on track, and they're going to feel like they're back on track, so they're going to have a bit more of a pep in their step. And I just feel like there was such a big contrast in the way they played to the first three rounds that there's a clear distinction as to what worked and what didn't. And I just think that it's just so easy for them to now just go with what worked. That might sound like such simplicity. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because you're giving me this blank look.
No. What I'm wondering, I was going to ask you, is how much did Carlton potentially maybe drinking their own bathwater, thinking they're invincible, undefeatable, just go in and not worry about the opposition? And given we've just come at from a week where we've played really accountable football and focused on some key men from their team, are we going to make at least Adelaide's midfield work a lot harder than possibly Carlton's did?
Yeah, there might be a bit more accountability, but I think definitely Carlton played poorly, but Adelaide certainly played better than they have been, if that makes sense. So it was a bit from this pot and a bit from that pot. And I think we'd be silly not to go in with those accountability matchups because we have the weapons, as we've shown, and they have the threats. So, you know, Halley on Rankin when he's back is a no-brainer for me. Somebody watching Rankin when he's in the midfield is a no-brainer for me. Saligo is another one of their mids who's a bit like our Sammy Durham going under the radar, but he's doing a lot of the heavy lifting. Their captain, who's been in not good form, Dawson, he'll need watching because he'll be wanting to step up. And again, as I said on the pod, I think their forward line is dangerous. I'm a big Fogarty fan, big Fogarty fan, and I'm worried that he's going to get off the leash because he'll be matched up on Laverty. And he's given away, speaking of giving away height and weight, Fogarty's a big, big boy, a big boy.
And also, they're at home, I mean, first and foremost.
Yeah, which that'll, you know, will give all the additional kind of pros that it gives to the home team, crowd and familiarity to the ground and being able to train on the ground, all those added extra pros. But
umpire indecisions often.
Exactly, yeah. Some dodgy umpiring. Speaking of umpiring, I feel like we got looked after on Friday night.
All right, can I say something really quietly? Now, I know not many people listen to this podcast. But what I want to say...
Is that how we like it?
Correct. Can we have all football coaches from now on former heads of the umpiring department? Because I have a theory, and I haven't backed it up with stats, because we all know I don't do that. I have a theory that we've been on the receiving end of some really good umpiring a lot this year, far more than prior seasons. And even last year, things started to turn around. And I just wonder whether, you know, Brad Scott is the former boss of these umpires and would have had their access to their HR files.
You think we got umpired well against St Kilda? You were sitting behind me and you could hear everyone losing their minds.
Yeah, no, not that game. I'm just saying on average, I reckon we've done far better. We've done far better in the last 2 years than the previous.
Are you basing that on how much whinging you've done on Twitter about it?
The whingeometer.
Is that your rate? Like, is that how you measure it?
The Twitter whingeometer.
Yeah.
Is one indicator.
Is that a word? Yeah, okay.
But, yeah, I get a feeling.
Or is this an eye test? Is it the eye test? Or is it the whingeometer?
It's the whingeometer divided by a coefficient of the eye test.
Okay.
Times by the gut feel.
And then spat out positive.
Yeah, it spat out positive. I just reckon.
Can you just touch that bit of wood behind you, please? Because I would hate in 2 nights' time to be coming back to this and saying you fucked us sideways by saying this, by putting it out there to the universe.
That's why I said quietly. Like,
oh, yeah. I know this doesn't go out to many people, although the numbers are many people for my liking. But beside the point, I think Friday night we got looked after very well.
Yeah, I guess I'm saying it's an emerging trend that belies the previous decade.
I can't say my eye test is completely on board your theory. However, I am conceding that Friday night we were umpired well. When I say we got taken care of, the first, aside from the St Kilda game, the other games, I feel like we've been umpired evenly. So no fuckery.
But even
the St Kilda game was full of fuckery. And then on Friday night, we were taken care of.
But I'd say even to break even is a net win for us.
Oh, okay. If you're saying that, then yes.
Given prior seasons.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then, yeah, I'm willing to go with you on that because 3 out of the 5 games, I would say we've broken even. One was pure fuckery, and then one was, we got taken care of.
Mm.
So that's a very different line of when we're talking about umpires, isn't it? We're usually on the very, very opposite end of positive.
I would say in our defence, what I've always claimed, not just when it comes to us, because I recognise we're not objective and I recognise I'm not objective.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But that's why we're a fan channel and not football analysts. I'd say, yeah, we're doing all right.
All right.
Well, usually I'm like the opposite. I'm raging.
Long may that continue.
Yeah, I haven't felt the need to rage anyway.
But I tell you what, if Friday night we see fuckery again, I'm coming for you. Just like you're coming for Papley, I'm coming for you.
Well, interstate, it's always hard. Interstate's always
hard. Oh, now he's backtracking. Now he's backpedaling.
Yeah, don't start me on Papley. All right. So what's your prediction? Are you sticking with... You said 4 points.
I did remember now.
You said
4 points
Adelaide.
I said a 4-point loss to the Bombers. However, I am now going back on that. And I am tipping a win by 5 points. So, unfortunately, a bit of a heart stopper. But we got taken care of on Friday night, which was nice because I got to watch the finish knowing that. Although, what did I write in the group chat with 6 minutes to go? Do you remember?
No.
We say a lot of crap in that chat, the six of us or seven of us, however many of us there are in there. I said, we can't lose this, can we? Because I think Bulldogs kick 2 in a row. And I started to panic a little bit.
Oh, towards the end, yeah.
So that shows where I was. I'm not completely ever feeling safe.
No, I'm with you.
So anyway, what are you sticking with your win?
So you've talked Adelaide up, and I worry. I worry about the bigger grounds, which seem to suit Port. Didn't suit us the week before. Oh, I'm going to go an Adelaide win by 10 points.
Okay, and everything has evened itself out now. The equator is now back where it should be. We are both on our positive, negative sides of the coin.
Normality has been restored.
That's right.
I just worry.
You're letting the little gremlin on your shoulder just jump in and sway you.
I was hurt this week by my soccer team, Arsenal.
Well, don't bring that baggage to AFL.
Threw the title away. I've got so much baggage.
You've got to leave your shit on the shelf when it comes to other sports. Where it is.
I've got more baggage than Toll. That's how much baggage I've got. So
it's your responsibility to leave that shit on the shelf and come refreshed and refined to the new code. Can't project onto AFL, onto Essendon.
But quite honestly, part of it is you do protect yourself kind of emotionally by expecting the worst.
Yes.
And being pleasant. But
this is a podcast. Do you genuinely think, or you're in self-preservation?
Yeah, no, you've kind of convinced me about Adelaide having turned the corner. And so I reckon a few weeks ago I'd say we'll win. But, yeah. On the positive, we had a day extra rest, which I do think is important given we sort of stretched thin, like in terms of squad. Like we've just basically got our best 22 and that's it. It just falls off a cliff. So the extra day will help. But yeah, there is a world. I can see all these little, like, small Adelaide players running around in space. And we know that one of our Achilles heels has been defending space in transition.
They don't have too many buzzy backline. And their big defender Butts is out as well as Crouch, who's their big bodied mid. So they're kind of a bit stretched down back.
I wasn't thinking back. I was thinking more midfield and.
Yeah. And their midfield. And again, my thing for them is their forward line. Ben Keys, who I'm adamant should be in a boy band. He does not belong on a football field. He belongs in NSYNC. He's in very, very good form.
But which member? Is he the sort of the bad boy member with the eyebrow ring, or is he the pretty boy, or which one is he?
He's the pretty boy with the blonde streaks and the bouffant of a hairstyle that he has. He's just a very pretty looking gentleman. And he just does not look like he should be getting his hands dirty, but he's performing beautifully and he always gives 100% effort. So he'll go till he drops. And as I said to you about the big ruckman, I rate him super highly. He is often down in Melbourne in his off season and trains at the gym as well that I go to. And he's a very nice guy as well. So, but I rate him highly. So the rucks will have to continue their form as well. I don't know. I think we could get a bit one up on them with our pace.
What, we got pace?
Yeah, we certainly did against the Bulldogs. Maybe that's just because it was at Marvel, but we looked pacey.
We did.
We looked pacey. When those handballs, the connective handballs were coming off, woof, even Stringer looked like Usain Bolt.
Yeah, well, you can move the ball quicker than you can run. Yeah, so when you're...
But that's what I'm talking about, pace. Yeah. That if you don't have, it's easier to complete a accurate handball than it is to run your legs.
True.
So I don't know. I just reckon we could, and I reckon the boys, it can go two ways. They're either going to be overconfident, like they were against Port after a good win, because we all know that they know that the Bulldogs game was a good win. They know that. You heard Ben McKay talking on his podcast about how good it was. You heard all the, Harry Jones on the interviews talking about how good it was. So they know how significant the win against the Dogs was, how good it looked and how good it was. So they're either going to be drinking their own bathwater and overconfident, or they're going to be just hungry for more.
By the way, just
to repeat.
Hopefully. As an aside, I love the way, like, great win, and then just the whole talk all week is about how Luke Beveridge and the Bulldogs are a mess. Are we that bad that you lose to us and suddenly that's the main talk?
Literally. They've got stars on every line in their team. I don't care how bad you are coached. You have the number one player in the competition, arguably. They're one of the number one clearance players in your team. You've got arguably the next generational player in your forward line. Like, yeah, but all the talk was about how terrible the Bulldogs are. Fun, but that's okay. We kind of want that. We don't want to be talked up.
True. Go under the radar.
That's right. Best we don't, because you know what? As much as I've told you this before, they say they don't read it or don't see it, but they all see it. All of them see it. Everything that's said and written, they see it.
Does that include things said by podcasts? Should
some podcasts.
If so, I feel, just to any Bomber players out there.
Believe it or not, some actually...
Like and subscribe.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they will. Believe it or not, some actually enjoy it more than others. So others that are around, I mean.
Oh, you've got intel to say that some people have listened.
I'm not so far as to put my good name against that, but yeah, I reckon there's a few little whispers about the podcast, a few little conversations happening about all the podcasts.
Well, you were dumb enough to put your name to this podcast already by being on it. So, and sponsoring it. So it's too late for that. But anyway.
I put my business to it. I put my name to it.
Correct.
Got nothing left.
Well, yeah, I'm going to say 10 points a loss. But I hope and pray that that's not the case.
Well, how's this going to work? Are you going to be sober watching it? Are all the guys that you're going away with, do they watch football? Do they barrack for Essendon? Or are you going to be out on a bender? You're not going to be home watching it?
No, look, it's a bunch of guys. There's a few English guys. So I don't know. I'll watch the game. I'll watch the game, I hope. But I don't think it's going to be... Yeah, it's going to be predominantly golf focused the weekend, and it's not going to be a bunch of 25-year-olds running around naked, shaving each other's eyebrows. We're too old for that.
Okay, that doesn't answer my question. Are you going to sit down and actually watch the game?
I hope so. Yeah.
Well, there's a possibility you won't.
There's a possibility.
Are there any Essendon supporters on this boys' cruise?
No, don't think so.
Okay. But general football fans or not really?
Not really.
Okay. Soccer fans?
More a few English guys, but that's all right. That's all right. I'll be watching it.
Just go lock yourself in a dark room.
Yeah, worst case, I'll be watching it on my phone. So.
Yeah, okay. So you'll be about.
I will be. Okay. Right. Anything else on the game before we go to Fiona's couch?
I don't think so. I think that's literally, you owe us in terms of the foot universe, footy gods, no suspensions and no injuries. This is the week that I very desperately want no suspensions and no injuries. You owe us. You took down Zach Reed when I asked you not to. I asked you specifically to take care of that boy and to allow him the year injury-free, and now you owe me. So no injuries, no suspensions, Anzac Day.
Yeah, did you – what happened? Were your prayers not answered?
No, I don't think I got the sage out for long enough. I don't – maybe I've just got to – I've got to do it twice a week and have my little seance. I don't know. But I know I'm owed, that's all.
All right.
And I'm cashing in.
Yeah, but no injuries, no suspensions, absolutely. Charlie Cameron getting off, by the way, comment?
No fucking comment. You want to hear about, you want to talk about good guys? Peter Wright is not just a good guy, he's an exceptional guy with the cleanest record. You could not find one speck of dust on his record. So don't talk to me about, where's the good guy's tax for him?
Yeah, but we didn't ask for a good guy.
Oh, yeah, that's it. You said that last week, didn't you? You said, why didn't we just go in and tell... See, you said it last week. You saw this coming. You said, why didn't we just go in and say how good of a guy you was?
I'm not just a pretty face. Why don't we just...
Wow.
And, yeah. But, you know, it's... Let's be honest. It's all predetermined by the AFL.
Absolutely.
And what they want on a given day or week.
That's right. And then, but not even to appeal it. Like, what weak shit is that?
Yep. Yeah, yeah. I agree.
Said no comment, but there we go.
All right. There's a few questions for the couch, Fiona's couch. Almost tempted to do two, but you kind of got annoyed with me last week when I...
Just the one. You've got to keep them coming back.
All right. Shall I go for the most juicy one?
You can most salacious. You know what I was thinking? If we're doing the podcast, if it's going to come out Monday, but then we have to do Fiona's forecast on the Wednesday. That's two you're getting two podcasts early next week.
Well, people just love Winsock, man. They're like one 7 days a week is the feedback I get.
Oh, really?
Okay. They'll be happy. They'll be happy.
All right,
you ready?
Yeah,
you ready?
Go.
Now, this question's very hard to answer because I feel it contains only half the information, so you have to go with it. You ready?
Okay.
I'm keeping a huge secret from my husband. Huge. Do I tell him? ? I'm keeping a huge secret from my husband. Huge. Do I tell him?
What?
Fiona's couch, what do you have to say?
Firstly, I feel jibbed because I need the secret.
Maybe the secret will incriminate her or him.
Oh. Okay. You know how I feel about cheating. And so if this is a situation where you're having an affair, my opinion is have your fun, but if you're not in the relationship, you need to end it and not partake in the dishonesty.
So well, it's dishonesty already. You can assume dishonesty. We don't know what about.
But I guess it depends, like, is your big secret a secret bank account with hundreds of thousands of dollars? Well, I would say to that, no, you don't necessarily have to tell your husband, because if that's your need to flee in the night because he's smacked you over the face and you need to, in case of threat, you need to flee, well, I would say no, you don't have to tell that secret. But if you've got a sweet boy toy on the side or girl toy on the side, well, my advice is that you need to end your marriage, because there's so much wrong happening there, but the main part of that is what happiness are you getting leading this double life? What joy are you getting?
You could broaden the lens a little bit. That's really, isn't that the heart of the matter, is like, what's the secret? Why are you keeping it?
Yeah, and that's two examples of two different secrets. But broadly speaking, since I don't know your secret, I'm going to say if it's bringing up feelings of uncertainty, it's keeping you up at night, which clearly it is because you've sent in a question to the couch and it's on your mind, I would say that it's probably causing you some internal grief, and your consciousness, your conscience knows. Your conscience knows.
That, and consciousness, possibly.
Yeah, true.
Subconscious.
Knows the right thing to do, and the thing you want to do is to be honest, because once you will have a big weight lifted off your shoulders once you are honest, because holding this in, you're second-guessing everything you do, everything you say. You have to watch yourself in case you slip up and you know, say the secret. You're probably so far gone in this secret holding that there's going to be a war and a blow up when it does come out, and you're avoiding that right now. But currently, it's clearly bringing you angst. So you need to pass the hot potato and let it go. Let it leave your life. Take the consequences. Take the war that's coming. Expect it. Preempt it. Prepare for it. Prepare for if it's a breakdown of your marriage. You're going to have to take it because it's holding the secret is holding you hostage at this point, and you need to be released from it. Because whatever this secret is holding, the longer the secret is holding you hostage, what's meant for you in life, those doors are going to stay closed because this secret is consuming your life. Whether you think it's not, it's going to be in your subconscious no matter what you think. You could say, no, it's not. It's just something that I have. Well, I disagree. It's preventing the thing, the person you're meant to be, the thing you're meant to have in your life, the person you're meant to have in your life. It's keeping those doors, those possibilities, those opportunities closed. Because this is an all consuming, sounds like it's an all consuming thing. You said huge twice, so
yeah, he or she, I shouldn't just say she, could be he. Did say huge twice, so I would say you're probably right. It's probably not something that, you know, maybe happened 10 years ago, and you don't need to, you know, you could get away with not telling him, you just feel a bit guilty about it.
Yeah.
And your question is, do I hurt him or not? It sounds like it's bigger than that. You're right.
Yeah. So if you don't want to do it for your husband's sake, to come clean and to be honest for him, then you do it for you. Do it for you and the baggage that's going to be dropped by your side and the future that is available to you on the other side of this hostage holding. Because right now you're just in fear. You're in fear of what telling the secret is going to bring. You're in fear of holding the secret. And so you're living a life in pure fear. And the fear is holding you hostage. So you're being held hostage by a few at the minute. So I would say, girlfriend or boyfriend, time to release yourself.
Good advice. You know what? I'm going to break with form again. I'm going to give you another question. I'm sorry. I've got to do it. I've got to do it.
The couch is closed.
It's a bit frivolous.
I charge $2,500 per minute. You cannot afford me.
Well, I'll answer it if you don't.
So no, you ready? No.
It's not a big one. You ready? Why is, because I've got the answer for this one, a bit like last week. Why is sandwich meat round when bread is square? Can't even make a motherfucking singer help. Why is sandwich meat round when bread is square? Well, I've got the answer.
The last part is funny. He sounds like he's high and he or she is high and they just want a sandwich.
Yeah.
And it's just occurred to them that it's the processed ones that he's talking or she's talking about, the round sandwich. It comes round. Like, well, salami is always round. Yeah. But, and sandwich bread is square.
And I've got the answer, brother.
What?
Pita bread.
No, but you can't
pita have bread, a, done.
You can't have like a, sometimes don't you just want a full-blown like white bread bad for you sandwich?
No, never.
I don't personally.
I'm fortunate I've got the Italian bakery at the Preston Market has the greatest sourdough in the world.
Oh, and you know me, the panna di casa is my favorite.
It does, and the panna di casa, and it does, and they do the focaccia with one with sardines, not sardines.
Olives.
What are the little salt bombs called again? Anchovies. One with anchovies on top.
Oh yeah,
delicious. One with garlic, and they do cornetti or croissants, as we call them here. Yeah, and that kind of rustic bread is just sensational. And you know what's good about it? After two days, you've got to throw it out.
No. Why are you doing that? Make breadcrumbs.
Well, you can do that. But after 2 days...
Tell me you're not throwing out this beautiful Italian bread.
No, or what you can do
you just,
is...
You just like, floor yeah. me.
You can make it into little, like...
You breadcrumb like, big, that shit.
Or big sort of croutons that
Breadcrumbs, they give you the best breadcrumbs. All you do what my nonna does, and she chucks it in the oven and you make what's called crunchy bread. And then you bring it out and you cut, once it's crunchy, you just give it the biggest drizzle of olive oil. Tomatoes from the garden, you just cut them. You get the you cut them in quarters.
Bit of salt.
Stacks of salt. Then you cut about 16 cloves of garlic. This is the important part. It's got to be garlic central. And you crush the garlic over it, and then you get the fresh basil from the garden, and then the crunchy bread actually absorbs all the oil and the tomato juices, and then it just becomes this
makeshift, delicious. Yeah,
becomes this makeshift bruschetta, like this bruschetta. That's how they make it in Italy, the bruschetta.
Yeah,
it's not on freaking pieces of toast that have been toasted like they get here, that we bastardize here. That's how it's made. And it's just the most delicious thing ever.
I'm gonna listen back to this podcast and write all this down. The other thing,
we can have a Fiona's Kitchen now. That's gonna be the last.
Yeah, that's right. We're gonna have the couch. We're gonna have the kitchen, and then we're gonna have Solutions Toilet. The other thing I like to do, they've got the dinner rolls, but I'll do the barbecue, the meats, etc. And at the end of the barbecue, I'll turn them upside down and toast them on the
beautiful on the juices, the meat juices, and then
big butter.
Oh no, and, we don't do butter.
And you have like 57 of them.
Yeah.
No, you got to have butter on it.
Bread's the best. No, I'm not a butter person at all. I'm a saucy person. Like I'll just smother all my chips in aioli and stuff like that. Yeah, but I don't do butter. No.
What about the Italian butter pasta? That's delicious.
Burro, the burro.
Burro.
No, not for me. Give me pesto. I'll eat pesto till the day I die.
Butter, lemon.
I like the oil. Aloglio. Pasta aloglio.
That's what
I like. If I've got nothing, I've got no sauce made in the freezer, and I've got fresh parsley from the garden, I'll just have some beautiful olive oil. But the thing is the olive oil has to be like extreme high quality for that to be nice, for that pasta to be nice. Can't just be the shit you get from the supermarket. It's got to be from the deli, like really good quality. Yeah.
Extra virgin, of course.
Absolutely. Yeah, really good quality. Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of food, speaking of delights,
yes,
I was very lucky that I got to sample some absolute amazing sweet treats from fellow listeners of the pod. Yep. Jonathan. Who reached out.
Yep.
And he and his lovely wife, Yota, actually, they make authentic Greek sweets. And they reached out.
Did you say Yota? Is he married to Yota?
Yota, yes.
Yota. Oh, Yota, with a T.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yota, the Star Wars
character. She makes the most. Don't start on fucking Star Wars. She makes the most incredibly authentic. I'm not talking about that processed shit that you get, you know, it's just what's it called in the kitchen? Like line them all up and it's they make it in bulk.
Oh, okay. Well, this sort of shit you get in the supermarket.
Like a processing line. Like what's the
Oh, like a factory processed
What's the term? You know the term?
Conveyor belt.
You know what I'm trying to say, though, aren't
you? Yeah, I think so. There's a difference between handmade, home-cooked shit and, you know, processed food.
That's right. But
anyway,
the point is the most incredibly tasting, authentic Greek sweets you could ever get from.
I love Greek sweets.
Even the bakeries these days. Can taste a bit like, even the syrup can taste so sickly sweet that you just know that it's come from this, from a Costco style, like large, you know, pot of, you know, that cost $12 for 16 kilos. Do you know what I mean? So I had the pleasure of tasting these sweets and I thought, I can't believe that more people don't know about it. So thank you so much, Yota and Jonathan. They were absolutely incredible. I am not ashamed to say that I ate multiple from the box and did not share. I've left myself one, I think. for the next day. It was the Greek baklava, and I did not share.
What about your fellow podcast member? Like, I'm here. I'm right here.
I know. It was just too good. You're going to have to, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to put in an order.
Oh, hang on. This is a business.
Yes. Oh, so she runs a business.
Yeah, that amount.
Yes, I can definitely. The business is called Sol Cucina. Now, in Italian, kitchen is cucina. So I'm assuming that in Greek, cucina is the word for kitchen.
Well, la cuisine in French is kitchen.
There you go. So I'm assuming that means Sol Kitchen. But please, if you're listening, especially if you're Greek Orthodox and you have your Greek Easter coming up in 2 weeks, yeah. Yoda is doing an amazing, amazing array of desserts and sweets. And you can just order some to take to the family. You can tell them you made them. They will think the world of you. So Sol Cucina, Kouzina, is their business. Lovely people.
Soul.
Soul Cucina,
yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Absolutely amazing people, SNN supporters, supporters of the podcast, and I don't do shout outs much in terms of on my business page because I just, not that I don't have things to shout out, but I never feel like I want to mislead my followers by shouting out something that's not 100% something that I would purchase myself. But this definitely is. I have a very soft spot for small businesses, sole traders who make their passion, who are in their passion project phase and are putting all their heart and soul into keeping the authenticity of their heritage alive. And that's what Yoda is doing. So please, please give her a follow, give the business a follow and order some sweets. I don't know if she has a minimum on things, but I'm sure you could discuss what you want with her. She also does bombonieri. Like, and honestly, I would be rapt to receive a little Greek sweet for a bombonieri rather than another candle, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I love the way they do the almond sweets.
Yeah.
It's a very Greek thing, yeah?
Yes, she does those, like the ones in the crescent. Yeah. She definitely does those. But my favorite, I will travel anywhere for a baklava, and that's what she made me, the Greek baklava, and it was to die for. So you could just taste the freshness. Okay. Not super sweet. As I said, I ate multiple of them and didn't feel sick. So anyway, long-winded way to say share the love.
No. We'll check out Sol Cucina. I mean, that's high praise indeed from the baker extraordinaire, Fiona, from Something About Cake. So great shout-out to the guys and Bomber supporters. So we should support Bomber small businesses. If you've got a small business and you're a Bomber fan,
get in touch.
Get in touch, yeah, particularly if you make beautiful food. But just remember there's two on the podcast. Fiona, you know, like I'm right here, you know. I kind of started this thing, but hey.
All right. I'll pick some up for you. I'll put it in order with Yoda and I'll get some your way. How's that? What month's your birthday in?
It's October. So.
All right, well.
October. We'll do it for Socktober.
All right. That's a deal. For your birthday, right. I'll get you some of her sweet treats.
Done. Well, thanks to everyone that listened. Check out Something About Cake and Sol Cucina as well. Go Bombers. Hopefully we can beat the Crows in fucking Adelaide where we tend to lose. But we'll find out. So go Bombers. Thanks to everyone that listened.
Thanks, guys.
We'll see you Tuesday. So the light from the sun would not burn me on my bum when I shoot the moon.
Hill's got it. Driven into the ground with a pulverizing tackle from Ambrose. Oh, I think the Bombers are going to go up with it here. Bombers have won.